the subject of how we honor our parents, whether they be aging parents or if they be elder parents. We know that our society is facing an ever-growing trend, a trend where ages are increasing. A trend today where ages are increasing and the U.S. population of age 65 and older is continuing to exponentially grow. And the challenges that face those children who will eventually be put to the test of caring for those challenges raise exponentially as well. From studies by the year 2050, we know that the U.S. population of age 65 and older will more than grow exponentially. It will grow 148% from the year 2000. That's staggering. However, when you look at our nation today, we have the highest rates today of age. And yet we have some of the conditions that make for situations for families where little to no assistance, little to no advice is passed around from a societal basis on the community level. Many families are left to fend for themselves, fight for information, look for ways to provide. However, as age has increased, we know the quality of life for some people hasn't grown as well. I'm so thankful for medicinal care, aren't you? I'm so thankful that our God in whom we serve has given us the ability and the wisdom to fight the diseases, to fight the illnesses that ravage people's bodies today, and has given us the ability to do so in such a fashion that we have been able to extend the lifespan of so many. Yes, conditional care for today has increased the lifespan and has done a great job in giving people hope for life when a lot of things have fallen. However, we know that there are also responsibilities that come with any blessing. Five years ago, I welcomed my first child into this earth. She is the grandchild of Richard and Brenda Powell here at Southwest Church of Christ. One of the things that I knew right quick about bringing a child to this world is whenever you are brought a blessing by God, what happens? You're also going to find responsibility. And with that responsibility comes the nurturing of that child, bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the God that we serve. However, the subject of revering and honoring parents for children is one that is spoken about quite frequently in the church where I serve. Part of the pew packers that we do each Sunday is to talk with our children about how they honor their father and their mother before the Lord in the way that they obey, the way that they treat their father and mother. However, the subject of revering and honoring aging parents, I have looked and searched high and low to see how much work churches are doing today in teaching and giving advice on such a subject to their members. And what we find is very little, if at all, push is being made by many congregations to fight such a need. What is happening to our members is many feel as if they exist on an island with this issue. Yes, they know that there are various others within their body locally that are dealing with these circumstances. However, many feel that they're left to deal with it alone. In a crowd of this size, how many of you this day are facing issues, responsibilities in life of various capacities? And today we know that in a crowd of this size, there are those most likely that are dealing with the subject that we're approaching this afternoon. How do we go about in a Christian method, how do we go about in a godly lifestyle assisting those who have sacrificed so much to give us the blessings that we enjoyed as children? How do we repay that in a Christian manner? It was very interesting to me when I looked at our culture, the Western civilization, and how over the last 10 years, only in the last 10 years have we seen a greater push by the general society to see that there be better greater expectations for how we care for and honor aging parents. This particular subject has received great interest in Eastern culture for many years. Of course, there's always exceptions in the Eastern and Western culture. Over the last 10 years, we have seen a multitude of varieties of ways that have come about in our society to assist us in these needs. But I want to ask you today to learn with me some things that the Bible has shared with us that we can put to practice in order to unequivocally begin to honor our parents and give them the joy that they've given us. One thing is for sure. From the creation of Adam and Eve, all the way down to you and I, God has always had an expectation that whether young or old, we honor father and mother. Many times we're called different things by different age groups. In this lesson, we're going to talk about the scriptural duty for a child to honor his aging parents. We're going to talk about one of those phrases that the United States seems to put together quite frequently, describe different age groups. You remember the baby boomers generation, and now we have a group called the sandwich generation. That's those who are in the web of a circumstance where maybe they're raising children of their own. They're maybe dealing with teenage children at this point in their life, but they're also dealing with the circumstances of caring for parents whose health has begun to fail, or maybe the quality of their parents' health has dwindled, and they're sandwiched in the middle of these two, and they're searching for answers on a daily basis. We're going to see how far the Christian responsibility extends. What Christian responsibility and godly character have to do with serving God through serving aging parents. Ephesians 6 verse 1 through 3 tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We all understand that, and we as parents who have children are dealing with that on a constant basis. We understand the facet of honor thy father and mother, yet when it comes to the challenge of doing so as a child, we tackle it a day at a time. Then it seems like we go through a period of time in our life where it's up to our children to honor us. But what happens when once again God has called on us in action to once again honor father and mother in a participatory fashion? How do we do that? The end of Ephesians 6 verse 1 through 3 says, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. That is the key scripture for our time together this morning. As the church, we know that the greatest instruction that we have comes from the inspired Word of God. We know it is profitable for the equipping of all of us as saints of God to works of righteousness, and it is only through that Word that we can find righteousness even in the moment of the challenge of dealing with the moments that come with helping and honoring our aging parents. I want to talk about two theological terms this morning, this afternoon I should say, that have to deal with this. The first is sanctification. You know, you think about sanctification in terms of the word, and it simply means to be set apart. And that phraseology, to be set apart, now we know what that means. Many of us look at that in terms of the lifestyle that we live. We say, now, Jonathan, I live this lifestyle because God, through Jesus Christ, has sanctified me and set me apart for holiness. But that's not the only thing. That is the primary reason for life, but it is not the only thing that God sanctified you to do. He also sanctified you in various aspects of life for various challenges that you meet during the race. One of these challenges for the subject this afternoon is honoring an aging parent. If you realize that you are now sanctified, set apart for the purpose of glorifying God in the way that you honor your father and mother, then you ought to see that that responsibility is a God-given responsibility, not a circumstance-driven responsibility. And there's a difference, brethren. I think so many times in our life, we look at circumstances in our life, situations that come about, and we say, you know, that's just the circumstance that I'm in right now. That's just my environment, and I'm going to deal with it, or I'm going to roll with it, and I'm just going to get by, and I'm going to see to it that this circumstance is taken care of. But don't ask me to go the extra mile. But in terms of honoring aging parents, it's not a circumstance that you've been dealt. It's not just a setback in life that you have found yourself approaching. It is a place in your life, a comma in your life, a sanctification point in your life where God has set you apart for the purpose of honoring that aging parent. If you will remember this, if you will remember that your time in life is spent in a moment-by-moment basis of being renewed in your mind, being set apart for service to God, then you will also remember that if you're faced with this circumstance, it's not just a chance. It's a sanctification point. Know that God has a plan for you and how you aid your mother or father in those difficult times. The next statement is glorification. Now we know sanctification means being set apart, but for what purpose in this situation are you set apart? You know, you think about this subject, and we know that there are various ways that aging parents are assisted. I would suspect that in a city the size of Austin, Texas, or as small as the town where I preach in Liberty, Texas, that there are no doubt various facilities that are created for the purpose of taking care of the elderly. And I also know that there are various stages of that care. As a child, I remember the first time I visited what I knew as a child as a nursing home. I remember as a child going with a youth group. I was only about 6 or 7 years old. I remember walking the hallway there, the nursing home, and seeing all of the aging men and women there within that facility and wondering how they ended up there and why my grandmother, who was of the same particular time of age in her life, was not there, but she was at home, and why were the circumstances different for her and not the same for these? And then I remember getting a little bit older and seeing different facilities, such as an assisted living facility. And I know from growing up in Alabama, one of the things that you did just about every Sunday as a young preacher was I ended up at multiple facilities. On Sunday afternoon, I spent a lot of my afternoons at these multiple facilities. And I would get to know the patients at those facilities. And there would be some whose sons or daughters would be there quite frequently, and some whose sons or daughters could not be there. We know that there are various circumstances that set up those situations. We also know that some are faced with situations where they have aging parents who have a desire to remain home and have somewhat of an ability to stay in those situations, however, need assistance. Whatever that circumstance is. See, it's impossible for a speaker to know your circumstances, whether you're in this audience or you're watching this on a DVD or listening to it in some form. It's impossible for a speaker to know every particular circumstance that you're dealing with at this moment. However, I can assure you one thing is this, is that if you're sanctified for that purpose at this point in your life, you must bring glory to God in it. Now, as we look at our lesson, as we continue on, we know that there are different things in life that lead up to this point. You know, we're not just born with aging parents. We're not just born into the womb and find a situation where mom or dad are already in that circumstance. Now, I was, and you may get a giggle out of this, but I was a surprise for my mom and dad. My mom was 46 when she found out she was having me. I'm thankful she found that out, by the way. But you know, the good thing about it is, no matter what circumstance you were dealt, if you're in this circumstance of knowing mother and father or mother or father, you know that there develops a relationship. You know, it's been amazing to me as I have been a part of local work to see situations with young people. Young people who grow up in homes with just a mother or just a father, a mother and father. Situations where they're dealing with the characteristics of growing up in that particular family. And there's certain things that must be understood in that framework. First of all, we as individuals and as a church must teach certain aspects of the family to get our children off to the right start. We must teach our children healthily that the family of God, the way God designed it, is for a father and a mother. In the society we live today, many of our children are being taught by society many different levels, many different facets that God did not design. However, as a church, we must speak above such things. We must be consistent in God's design for the home, the father and the mother, and ordinarily children. The first ordained family. Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. We see the beginnings of the world and creation, and what a great story that is. However, the one story that sticks in my mind from Genesis 1 through Genesis chapter 3 and following is that eventually Adam and Eve would do what? They would die. When we look at that circumstance, it would have been the first challenge for a son to deal with an aging parent. I'm not even sure I can begin to fathom the circumstances of that situation. However, that family structure exists even today. The church should teach these lessons to parents and children alike about the family structure that God ordained. The second aspect that we must realize as part of reality is eventually most children will grow up. Many of them will find a husband or a wife. They will leave father and mother and cleave to that husband or wife. They will eventually, if time permits and God allows it to be so in their life, if He wills it to be so, they will bring children to this world. And then as time goes by, it's quite possible that mom or dad may continue in age. Then they may find themselves faced with a circumstance of being found in the midst of what society has dealt as the sandwich generation. I want us to share together what I consider to be a normal direction for this study. We know that God has told us as parents to lay up for our children. In Mark chapter 7 verse 11, I want you to look at that in your Bible in just a moment. But one of the things we know from society is that children today, most of us as adults are finding in our society there to be a particular trend where money is tight and time seems to grow even tighter. I was kidding with one of our families back in Liberty this past weekend about their time schedule. They, on Friday, had a baseball game. And on Saturday, had two baseball games. And then they went to a family gathering on Saturday evening with other church families. And I said, "Do you even have time to breathe anymore?" And the father's answer is, "Very rarely." And how true that is. Seeing those circumstances for a majority of our young families and how money is tied and time seems to grow even tighter, no one expects to be placed into a circumstance where their time constraint could grow even tighter due to family dealings. We know that in the culture of the Old Testament, we know how Hebrew life made it so important that parents brought forth an inheritance for their children, and how gracious it was for a father and mother to bring about these things, the idea of laying up for their children and giving their children a good head start in life. However, very rarely do we see the philosophy of the latter talked about today. Very rarely do we hear about children today who are in circumstances where they are laying back money. 31 years old, will be 32 in May. My wife and I, my wife going through graduate school at the University of Houston. 3 children, you get the picture. Money's not flowing out of our ears, and rarely is it anyone's anymore. However, there is wisdom in being frugal sometimes. There is wisdom in being Christian-oriented in the way you spend your money. However, we're seeing a situation today where children financially are so strapped, where our children today are financially in a position where if mom or dad became to the situation in their life where they could not support themselves any longer, children reach down in those pockets and pull out nothing for return. I want us to realize, however, that we are called as children to be wise in estimation of how we deal with our finances in case we find ourselves in these circumstances. Now, I want you to look at one passage. I brought this to your attention. Hopefully you've had time to look at this. Mark 7, verse 11. But you say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, that wherewith thou mightest have been profited by me is Corban, that is to say, given to God. There's nothing wrong at all with sacrificing of your means to God. And we do that as a church body to assist in the Lord's work. And we know that there is a responsibility to do that. And I don't think any of us would ever argue that. I've heard probably in my lifetime 30 sermons on giving. Those of you who are preachers, you've probably preached maybe one or two. You know, as preachers, we always talk, well, I rarely ever preach on giving. You know, we always say that. But what about the aspect of giving back to our parents? How many of you have ever, in the situation of collection, heard a prayer and someone made the statement in their prayer, we give back to you what you have prospered us? And we believe in that, and we believe it's godly to do so. But just as God is our Heavenly Father, there is such an aspect of children realizing that they should also be wise in giving back to mom or dad. You know, we can't all do it financially, but there are many other means to do so. Jesus spoke harshly to some who gave to the collection, who should have given that to those who were hurting, their parents who needed that, who could have profited from that small amount, whatever it may be, and yet they gave it, and yet it was needed elsewhere. I want you to realize that there are certain principles in this subject that cannot be ignored. First of all, I want to talk about a word. The word filial. I have to be honest. I took vocabulary in school and learned a lot of the dictionary. But it was not until I got this topic that I had ever heard of the word filial. And yet that word filial, the filial relationship between father and son, daughter and father, mother and son, mother and daughter, that's such an integral aspect of this subject. When the rich young ruler asked Jesus which commandments to obey in order to gain eternal life, one of the six that he highlighted, gave the most emphasis, was on honoring father and mother. And if we as adults today look back at our childhood, we may have one of two thoughts about our childhood. We may say, you know, Jonathan, I was a great son or daughter. I always tried to do my best. Yeah, I wasn't perfect but I tried to honor my father and mother. How many of you have ever seen one of these stupid talk shows on TV where the son or the daughter, they go up on the stage and they say, you know, I blame it all on mom or dad. How many of you have seen that? It's all mom and dad's fault. I just want to see somebody get up there and say, you know what, my mama was great, my daddy was great, I just lost my mind somewhere. You rarely ever see children who are great sons or daughters, respectful sons or daughters, completely abandon that respect as they get older. And even so rarely as well do you see a disrespectful child who grows up continuing to dishonor father and mother, goes out as an adult, dishonors father and mother's name, and then turns it all around and becomes a great caregiver. So we must start these things early. Now I want to give you some things to think about in terms of how this affects you and your family. Whether you are married with children or whether you are married without children or single, all the aspects, the choices that you make are going to affect yourself and your family on a daily basis. 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. One member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That extends as well to the relationship in a filial manner. When your parents are burdened, you cannot just wash away that burden from your hands and claim that it has nothing to do with you. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, but if any provideth not for his own, especially his own household, he is denied the faith, and he is worse than what? Worse than an unbeliever. Now that is a shocking statement. And all of us may be saying, well, Jonathan, that really, I just want to think of that as my own family, my children or my wife. Extends further than that, brethren. My mom and my dad were not perfect parents, but they did the best that they could. I lost my dad a month ago. And the circumstances of my father's death were sudden. Didn't see it coming. However, when I look at my mom or my dad, one thing I know, and you may can echo this with your mom and dad, is that they did without for me. They did without, they sacrificed so that I could have the things that I had. And you don't realize that as a teen, do you? You don't realize what mom or dad are doing without to give you what you need or even sometimes want. Yet it's not until later on you look back and you realize that they did what they could do to take care of you. Now, let's return the favor. Let us share with them the same dedication. 1 Peter 3:8-9 says, finally, be ye all like-minded, compassionate, loving as brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil, reviling for reviling, but contrariwise blessing. For hereunto were ye called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Your parents blessed you, blessed in return. Certainly, it cannot be amiss the fact that when you give care to mom or dad, that you're also caring for God. In Mark 9:41, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water, drink because ye are Christ, verily I say to you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God your Father through him. Share the same extension of care that mom or dad extended to you. Now, these next two are very important. Do you remember as a child when mom or dad would tell you to do something? And they would tell you to do this, and then you would come back and you wouldn't do it. And what would they say? You weren't listening. How many of you ever had that happen? I remember that. But today you must listen to your parents. Don't shut them down. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scoffer heareth not rebuke. I want to share with you in closing that I believe the church has a great responsibility in aiding us as children to see about it that our parents are well taken care of. What I mean by that is oftentimes we're placed in situations where we cannot be there with father or mother. I'm one of those. My mother and father, back in Alabama, now just my mother, I can't be there with them. However, I trust that back home there is a church, and I know that there is, that won't let my mother do without. They won't just let her vanish away with no thought. They care about her because she is part of their family. And we must see to it that our churches never neglect those of our family, whether they're young or old. It extends to pastoral care, to our elders. They're our shepherds, our pastors. I've been in a lot of elders' meetings in my life. Since 18 years old, I've been in a lot of them. I've seen us talk about buildings, roof repairs, carpets, programs, all these various circumstances, and shepherds get just beat down with them, aren't they? I would love to see a day when, as a church in our community, we were known as the center where people came to learn how to honor father and mother. And who can help us make that happen? Our leaders can do it. We must extend that responsibility to our parents and together make our name known as those who love and care and honor our aging parents. God bless.